This past week, the facilitator of our life group, who was leading us in a study on aging, I went to another meeting and I had to come late for the life group. But I got in at the end, and she closed with a couple of wise quips. And she said, "You know when you're getting old, when you sink your teeth into a steak and they stay there." Now, they laughed with a hilarious laughter because the night before we were at a birthday celebration of one of our life group members, and lo and behold, there was a piece of steak or a piece of meat, and my crown stuck there. I lost my crown. You know, I had no crown. We're talking this morning about crowns. We're talking this morning about royalty, but not ours, but that of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about King Jesus. And these statements on royalty thrill our soul. And royalty, of course, excites people even today. I remember last year I was at a pastor's conference, a convention, and we had a late night. I got up next morning, took my Bible to the restaurant to have a cup of coffee with Jesus, and boy, there was a loud buzz in the restaurant, and I thought, what's going down? What happened in the convention I didn't pick up on, you know? And it was the pastor's wives, and some of them anyhow, and they were excited because they had stayed up the night before to watch Prince William and is it Kate or whatever her name is? Yeah. And so they were all excited about this. And some of you probably remember Charles and Diana, and some of you probably watch William. Some of the royalty kind of jumps into you. Well, anyhow, we hope that the royalty of God and the King Jesus will jump into you. Now, it's in the Bible. We're going to read our text, John chapter 12. And we're going to go, I think, we'll know the verses, down to verse 33 approximately. So grab your Bible, John 12, or grab your iPads or whatever you use today. We want to read the Word of God. And this gentleman is going to come. I'm going to ask him to come. We're going to read from John, and his name is John. And John, you probably don't know this, do you? That 7 years ago today that you gave me a phone call, and you said, "Pastor Andy, would you consider coming to Campbell River?" God bless.
Do I need a mic or can you hear me? I need a mic.
Didn't press the mute. Okay, good. I used to answer the phone. This is John the Baptist here. Until the pastor called. Would you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 12? We're going to be reading from verses 12 through to 33. And would you also stand with me as we read God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word? The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. And Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while a man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice from heaven came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there heard it and said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. May God give us wisdom and understanding and insight into his holy word. Father, I just pray right now, especially for Randy. I ask you to fill him with your spirit. Open our ears, Lord. Prepare our hearts for the words that come from you through him. May he preach his heart out. May he do and say the things that you want said and done. Bless this time now and make it count. For I ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
The Gospel of John. Got to be the favorite gospel that I have. And John chapter 12 contains a lot of lessons in it. In the moments that we have remaining, we're going to let you look at that picture through the whole sermon. King Jesus. I trust he's your king, and if he's not, there's ways to get into his kingdom. I want you to hang your thoughts around three things: that he is king, number one, that he has a kingdom, number two, and he has also subjects, kindred. So he's the king, and he has a kingdom, and we are his kindred. This was an awesome day known as Palm Sunday, because that day when they welcomed him as the king, they made a royal carpet of palm leaves, which indicated victory and triumph, as well as taking off their coats and laying them down for Jesus. The only thing is that they had an idea of a different king. They knew the Messiah would be the son of David, so they expected him to be like David, to be a man of war who vanquished all of Israel's enemies and brought peace to the nation. And they thought, this is the king who has come. They were sure he was the king because he had the power to raise Lazarus from the grave. Some of you that know John 6 know that when he fed the 5,000 men and women and children with the loaves, it says they sought to make him king. And so they said, this must be the Messiah because of his power to raise someone from the dead. Surely he will be our leader, and surely then he has the power to vanquish Rome. No one can raise people from the dead. But thirdly, he fulfilled Scripture. As he entered on that colt, they realized that Zechariah 9:9 was being fulfilled, that your Messiah king will come in riding on a colt. The problem is they perceived he was a different king than he was. So I want you to look at the different king this morning, number one, and the different kingdom that he has. First of all, on a different kind of a king. Did you know when he was born? He was born in a stable. And did you know that the wise men, the Magi, came to him? They said, "Where is he who's born king of the Jews?" He was known as the king from his very beginning, but he was a humble king. And most kings are not humble. They have an air of arrogance about them. But Jesus was humble riding on a colt. Jesus was humble. He was the infinite one who became an infant. He is the one whose garment was space, and now he's got the swaddling clothes of a peasant. He was a humble individual all of his life. He was meek and lowly. He was a different sort of a king. He was different in that he wept. You see, this was his journey on the donkey. He'd set up kind of his own ticker tape parade. He was pushing the envelope over to the Pharisees. He knew he had to die, and he always avoided crowds, but here he's got a crowd, and he knows that the Pharisees will be plotting his death, and so he moves in there. So the shadows of his passion were beginning to fall on the path of Jesus, and as he rode the colt that day, he moves through Jerusalem. He knew their cheers would turn into jeers, but as he moved through, he stops in the brow of the hill in Luke 19:41, the counter passage to John 12. He looked over Jerusalem, and he wept. He wept because Jerusalem would not believe in him. He had such compassion and love for a city. He came unto his own. His own received him not. There was a presidential candidate in a couple elections ago, and he was in the primaries, and he wept publicly, and he disqualified himself from the race because of that. And NBC wrote, "How could a man who cries ever lead a nation?" Jesus was a different king. He was humble, and he wept. But instead of having servants that would serve him, in Mark 10:45, he says, "I am one who serves you." And so he served, and then he proceeded to go through Jerusalem, and then he got a room all set up for the Last Supper, the first Christian Passover, and he arranged that supper. He arranged that supper, and it was at that supper that he showed his disciples what God looks like. Do you know what God looks like? His scepter was the towel as he went and washed the feet of one who would betray him, one who would deny him, and the rest who would forsake him, except John, his best friend, his cousin. And he took the towel and he washed their feet. You see, we live with the idea that God is to be exalted on a throne. But by this one act, Jesus taught us that the living God came down from a throne, and he came to serve us and to give his life a ransom for many. The true king can only be true so far as he is humble and that he identifies with compassion with us and that he serves us. And he begs us to serve each other and to serve the world, as it were, in John 13. Paul was trying to teach the Philippians to be more humble. I mean, you come into churches and the churches are just proud. "I'm proud to be a Christian." Well, in the Bible, it was about a little different, you know. It wasn't all this hip, hip, hurrah and array. It was like, "On their feet before a holy God, depart from me, I'm a sinful man." And so Jesus taught us in Philippians what humility really was. Paul was telling the Philippians, he said, "Look, let nothing be done through strife," in Philippians 2. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." But Paul said, "In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others." And Paul was teaching the Philippians, and he thought, "What illustration can I now use?" And the Holy Spirit said, "Use Jesus." And so in Philippians 2:5, he said, "This mind that I've described to you," he said, "let this mind be in you, because it was also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But Jesus made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of man. and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so the Creator, who had become a creature, now became a criminal. And he died the death of a common criminal for you and me. You see, I came not to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. And then, because of the death of Christ, where he vanquished all of the principalities and powers and disarmed the devil, and as John read in John 12, now the prince of this world is cast out. He did that, and then Philippians 2 and 9 says, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ, you are Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So my friends, whether you believe in Jesus or not, you will be saying Jesus is Lord in hell all of your life if you're not a Christian. You'll be saying Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. I'm here because I refuse God, and Jesus wept over me and pled for my salvation. And you said no. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. And so he is to be called Lord, Lord, because he was servant, servant. But the ultimate proof, and I'll show you just one verse. I know our time is gone, but look at John 1 and 43. Pardon me, John 1, 49. Here's the ultimate credential of Christ being king. The ultimate credential of Christ being king. He is the true king, not only by his humility. And by the way, his humility means he became man who was God. He left the throne of God to occupy this sin-cursed earth, to be made a criminal for us. That's humiliation. But look at John 1 and 49. Nathanael said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. The King of Israel is divine. And the credentials of Jesus is that he is God. He is divine. And no other king can ever say that. Other kings would say, hey, I'm born of this man. I'm born of this king. I'm born of this line. You know the lineage of Jesus. Although it was back to David, there was a lot of scum in between. And Jesus was not born of them. You see, his father was God. He was born of God. So he is the true king. And then just think for just a moment about the odd kingdom that he has. Kind of a different kingdom, wouldn't you say? And by the way, his main subject, if you heard Jesus preaching all the time, you'd say, why is that guy on the kingdom of God all the time in the kingdom of heaven? He spoke about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven, well, first of all, it's a kingdom, he told Pilate. He said, yes, I'm a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. It's from another place. And it's not a kingdom won by force, but it's won by love and by peace. And then in Luke 17, the Pharisees said, just tell us when the kingdom of God's going to appear. And he says, the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. You're not going to see it. It's invisible. It's inside of you. It's the kingdom of the heart. You see, when I got the king inside of me, I'm part of his domain. I'm part of his kingdom. And it's an eternal kingdom. How quickly presidents come and go and prime ministers come and go. The long Trudeau reign, the long Christian reign, it's over. But Jesus' reign is forever and ever and ever. Messiah. Wow. Luke 17, 20, 21, if you're taking notes. But then I just want to kind of shutter down with the entrance requirements to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said what? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You must realize that sin has you in its clutches. And you must realize the subtlety of sin. You must realize that if you want to come into the kingdom of heaven, it doesn't come through the church doors. It doesn't come through baptism. It comes through repentance. But John 3 and 3, it says, It comes by being born again. Because Nicodemus, who was somebody that knew his Old Testament better than anybody here, knew his Old Testament. Anybody here knows your Old Testament? Nicodemus knew it better. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, truly, truly, I'm telling you right now, unless you are born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the womb of his mother the second time he's born? Jesus said, hey, look, except you be born of water, physical birth, and of the Spirit, you will never enter the kingdom of God. So there's one entrance. Have you come that entrance? And you're part of the kingdom of God. It's a different sort of a kingdom, because the greatest is the lowest. In order to get high in the kingdom of God, you got to get low. Matthew 18:1, he took a little child, sat in his lap, and he said, if you humble yourself as this little child, the same will be great in the kingdom of heaven. The place for you and I is in the dust at Jesus' feet. It's not to occupy the great seats and to look for office and all that sort of stuff. It's to humble ourselves before God. And we're different kind of subjects because we're adopted children from very sordid backgrounds. And all the sins that we've had are all washed away. And we're purchased by the blood of Christ. In Revelation 5:9, it tells us that Jesus bought us by his blood. And it's not just one national, it's not just one nation like the Jews, but it's out of every kindred and tribe and nation and tongue. Revelation 5:9. And it's a royal priesthood. It's a holy nation. And it's a kingdom of light, not a kingdom of darkness. Are you willing to go down that you can come up? Are you willing to look at John 3 and 30 where John said, I must decrease so he will increase? A&W, I was going to say. A.W. Tozer. A&W. A.W. Tozer. He said, a real Christian is an odd number. The person in the kingdom of God is an odd number. He said he empties himself to be full. He admits he's wrong so he can be declared right. He goes to glory on the merits of another. He goes down in order to get up. He's strongest when he's weakest. He's richest when he's poorest. He dies so he can live. He forsakes in order to have. He gives away in order to keep. He sees the invisible. He hears the inaudible. And he knows that which passes knowledge. Let's pray. Father, for your grace, we pray to be subjects of your kingdom, to bow before Jesus, that you are the true King of the universe. Take all of the honor, take all of the glory, God. But save someone here, Lord, who's never been born again. Speak deeply into their heart today and convict them of sin, Lord. And may they look to you, dear God, to know that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever will believe in him will never perish but have eternal life. Thanks for letting us be part of this eternal kingdom, Jesus. I pray this in your name. This is the ultimate in Christian worship, the table of the Lord. The Last Supper, when Jesus was there, he washed the disciples' feet. And if you're in the kingdom of God, he's washed your feet. He's cleansed you anew and afresh. You've been born again. And you have a new life within you. He's created Jesus in you. And you're part of the kingdom of God. And there is no greater life than that. If perchance here you are this morning, you've never repented of your sin, that means you've never changed your ways. and you really don't trust in Jesus. You're trusting in education, the world, you're trusting in your baptism, you're trusting in a church. If you haven't come to Christ, the table is for only Christians. It's for his family that he's adopted us. It's to those he's called and justified, and he's the one, our God, who's called us. We're here to remember Jesus today. Maybe I could just, could I just take 2 minutes and just share with you something else about King Jesus? You see, instead of having subjects die for him, King Jesus died for his subjects. He died for me, a filthy sinner. I'm part of his kingdom. I'm as pure in his kingdom as the Apostle Paul because of the merits of Christ, because God made Christ to be sin for me, for you. Though he knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. So King Jesus dies. It says in Colossians 1, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. And he's translated us, he's brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. His blood bought me. Yeah, Jesus. Humility on the cross. He could have called 12 legions of angels to deliver him, but he didn't. The song says he died alone for you and me. His crown was a crown of thorns that caused him to bleed. There's an old song that says, King of my life, I crown you now. Thine will the glory be. Lest I forget your thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. Yeah. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget your love for me. Lead me to Calvary. King of my life, I crown you now. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we can just take a reading on that one. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the prescription from Jesus himself to John or to Paul. 1 Corinthians 11:23. These are the words of Holy Writ. They're from God, as if God was here. This, if God is here today and he's going to give us a message about communion, he'd give us this one, I'm sure. I received from the Lord Jesus, Paul said, and I also passing it on to you, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, knew it was going to happen. He took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. The King James, it says, is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You see, the King dies for us. He is exalted, the highest name in the universe. There's a moment, there's an hour and a minute and a second planned where he's going to come back. But this time he's going to come back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Take a moment to meditate on what has been said, and I'm going to call the deacons to come at this time. Father, it's probably been done so many times by some of us that we look at it as old hat. Forgive us for that sin, Lord. We come anew and afresh, Lord, think that the King of the universe is amongst us, the one who died for us and rose again. And that's how come he's the Son of God, because he's declared with power by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. You've told us, Jesus, to remember you, because we forget so soon. The world calls us away. Our flesh calls us away. But you've called us back. Lord, would you give us strength? My brother Fred leads us in prayer for the bread. Your precious, precious body, Jesus.
Father, we are lost in our sin. We are without hope, without you. And we thank you so much that you reached out to us. You shared of your love. You sent your only Son, Father, to die for our sins, Father. We thank you now for this symbol of your broken body. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
The King of Glory said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do to remember me." Thank you, Jesus.
Shall we pray for the cup? Heavenly Father, we come before you to consider the fruit of the vine that is going to be in our hands in a moment. And Lord, we, as we have that in our hands, we pray, Lord, that we would remember your precious blood that was poured out for us. And Lord, that you said that you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And for almost 2,000 years, believers have been celebrating and partaking of the cup. So, Lord, we give you thanks for the cup. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Wow. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood cleanses us from all our sins. And for as much as you know this, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but you were bought with the precious blood of Christ, who is a lamb without blemish and without spot. To you, King Jesus, you said, take the cup, because this cup is a new covenant, a new agreement in my blood. This do as oft as you drink of it, to remember me. To you, Jesus, we remember you. I don't know, Fergie, if you're able to play the last slide of my PowerPoint. Shove it up there if you can find it. But I'd like you to go in your Bible before we sing this final song. And the team could get ready to sing the song, Jesus Messiah, but I'd like you to look at 1 Timothy 1 and verse 17. You notice what 1 Timothy 1:17 says? It says, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And then go over the page to 1 Timothy 6:15. It said, God will bring about in his own time, God, the blessed, the only ruler, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. The King of kings is coming. Jesus said, I will come again. Let's sing this song to our Messiah, to our King, Lord Jesus.
He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from hell. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole and the veil was torn.
some from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all our hope is in you, all our hope is in you, all the glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah. Name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may he make you perfect in all your ways. May he work in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, and to him be the glory forever and ever. And all the people of the kingdom said to the king, Amen. Amen.